2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul is writing to his young friend Timothy. Timothy is in Ephesus, and Paul left him there in order that Timothy might be the pastor of the church in Ephesus, and that he might appoint elders in the church and oversee the work and preach the word there. And this is Paul's last letter to Timothy, in which he gives him some fatherly advice, spiritually fatherly advice. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And we do thank God for the reading of his word. Well, it's true, isn't it, what Anne Steele says in that hymn, that when we come to the scriptures, we always need to pray that we might receive new light, fresh light, new understanding, that we might be able to see things in the word of God that we've never seen there before. And I think that's true of the passage that we are going to look at this evening and the message that we have. I'm sure it's a passage that most of us here, if we've been Christians for any length of time, we would have heard this passage read many times, and especially one of the verses. If you go to an evangelical church like ours, you will have been brought up. If you were a child in church and you were brought up in church, you would have been brought up with this verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You might be familiar with the older version of it, But nonetheless, you'll recognize that particular verse. But even though we might recognize some of these words, we mustn't then assume that we know the message of the passage. It's a very important passage. We're really thinking about this great subject on Sunday evenings, finishing well. Finishing well. We only started last week, but the little series won't be very long, but the little series is really based on the verses at the end of the reading, where Paul gives us his personal, well, it's a sort of valedictory, I suppose. He's waving goodbye to us, and he's on his way. He's on his way to heaven. He's actually on his way to martyrdom, but he's on his way to heaven. That's how he sees it. And this is how he describes it in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. He says, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my..." Now, what would you say? Would you say my death? No. He says my departure. My departure. That's the sort of word that you get on the train station, isn't it? Or the airport. Departure. It's what you've been looking forward to. It's you're leaving. Yes, but you're on your way. You're departing one place, but you're going to arrive in another. And that's how Paul sees his situation right now as he writes to his young friend Timothy. He says, "I'm departing. It's not going to be long, and my departure is quite near." And he's quite excited about it, really. He's in a terrible situation, remember. In 2 Timothy, he's in a cold and damp dungeon of a place. He's not in the nice rented rooms that he had when he was writing 1 Timothy. This time, when he writes 2 Timothy, Paul is imprisoned and is awaiting a trial that he fully expects will result in his death sentence. The terrible Emperor Nero is on the throne, persecuting Christians in a short, sharp period of intense struggle and persecution. And then it was during that Paul was martyred. And he knows this. So he says, "I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." But then he says these wonderful words, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Now, these verses are all about Paul, aren't they? And yet they're a great encouragement to us. Because every one of us needs to be able to say that when the time for our departure comes. We don't know when that's going to be. And thank God we don't know when that's going to be. That's in God's hands, and we don't need to worry about it at all. We need to leave it in God's hands. We must never make it a subject of anxiety or over concern. We leave these things in God's hands. One thing we do know, if you're a child of God, it will be at exactly the right moment. It won't be a moment too soon, and it won't be a moment too late. So we need to have that great assurance. But we do need to be able to say this when we get to that place. And that's why we need to look at it now. Some of you are very young, and you're saying, "Well, I'm not even thinking about this." Well, no, you don't need to think about it in practical terms, but you do need to be living such a life that when you get to that point, you are able to say that. We all need to be in that situation, don't we? So how then do we finish well? Well, Paul is writing to his young friend Timothy, and he wants him to keep going. It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. How do I finish well? You know, wherever we are on the Christian pilgrimage, we need to be determined to keep going until the very end of our life on earth. And we have sadly seen some who have tripped up at the very end of the race. Sad to see that, isn't it? Christians who have run well, and yet near the end, something's happened. They've tripped up. And you say, oh, they were doing so well. I never would have thought that of that Christian. I'm not saying that they're not saved. What I'm saying is they didn't finish well. You know, when you're running a race, you've got to keep going. Now, the start is very important, isn't it? The start's crucial. You've got to get a good start. But you've got to keep going. And your eyes are on the finishing tape. And you've got to go right through it. Again, you've watched some races. The athletics are on quite a lot now over the summer, aren't they? You watch some races, and you can see what happens. Someone runs out of steam just before the finishing line, and somebody else comes and overtakes them. And others of them, they slow up because they think they've won the race. But they've got to keep going right through that finishing line. I don't know whether your PE teachers told you, but when you're running a race, you run through the finishing line. You don't run up to it. You run through it and keep going. And that's really what Paul is telling us here. Old age is a minefield, just as much as youth is a minefield spiritually. So Paul's writing his last letter, and he's given him encouragement already. He's told him that the first thing that he needs to know, if he's going to finish well, is that he needs to know the times in which he's living. We looked at that last week, didn't we? Chapter 3, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. We're living in the last days. We have been ever since the Lord Jesus was taken up into glory on his ascension. We've been in those last days of God's dealing with the world and with his church. These are the last days. And during that long period, it's already been 2,000 years, and it'll be longer, we don't know how long. But during that long period, there are going to be smaller seasons of intense difficulty. There are going to be these times, these terrible times, these difficult times, these seasons are going to be a problem. And you've got to look at the culture around you, and you've got to be aware of it and aware of the pressures that are upon us. You need to ask the question, is the culture around us sympathetic to the gospel, or is it anti-gospel? I think that most of us who have lived any length of time would say that there have been times when the culture around us has been more sympathetic, where churches have not found it difficult to operate, not found pressures upon them. But I think all of us would say that our culture now is far from that, and that increasingly there are pressures upon Christians and upon churches that never used to be there. We need to recognize this. If we're going to finish well, we need to see the times in which we're living and be determined that we are not going to be pressed into the mold of the world around us. So that was very much the first great lesson that Paul said to Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 1, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. And then you skip down to verse 5, have nothing to do with them. You see, that's the lesson. Don't get sucked in to the culture around you, and particularly to the false teaching that there is around. Hold on to the truth in these days. Hold on to Christ and him alone. It's very important. So what's the second great thing? You know, before we get to these lovely verses at the end of our reading, we've got to look at the context of them all. And the second great bit of general advice is this. Have good role models. Have good role models. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, Timothy, if you're going to finish well, then you need to be modeling yourself on godliness. And you need to see what godliness is by looking at it in other Christians. But you need to make sure that you're looking at the right Christians. You've got to make sure that there is a godly example for you to follow. And so that's what he's saying here in these verses. Particularly verse 10, I think we spend most of our time looking at just verse 10. We'll refer to the rest, but look at chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. Now, the Apostle Paul isn't being boastful. He's simply saying to Timothy, look, Timothy, I'm finishing this Christian life. There was a time when I started. And remember that he's already told Timothy that he was once a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was a violent man. He hated Jesus. That's where he started. Now, he may not have been as bad as that, but every one of us started there as someone who didn't know Christ. Maybe even tonight there are some here who still don't know Christ. And you're still in that situation. Well, you've got to start the Christian life by turning from that, repenting of that, and turning to the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, to see the one who died on the cross for you. And that's how Paul started the Christian life. That's how everybody starts the Christian life. Paul is not being boastful here. He's simply saying, it's only the grace of God that I am what I am, but I've managed to keep going right to the end. And Timothy, I want you to remember that. And I want you to remember the sort of life that I have lived. And so here in this verse, he's giving Timothy a role model, in order that Timothy might know how to live his life. Effectively, he's saying to Timothy, you live like you've seen me live. That's the Christian life. Now, it's quite something to be able to say that, isn't it? It shows that the Apostle Paul did seek in his life to always honor the Lord Jesus and love Christ in all that he did. So what about these good role models then? Well, first thing I think we learn is that a good role model will teach the Bible. A good role model will teach the Bible. You, however, know all about my teaching, says the Apostle Paul. You know about my teaching. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about Paul's teaching of the Word of God. Timothy had first-hand knowledge of this. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll find that Timothy was with Paul on those missionary journeys. Not on the first one, but the second missionary journey, Timothy was there with him. And Timothy listened to Paul as he preached in all these various places. He listened to Paul preach in Ephesus. And he heard the word of God. And he listened to the teaching that came from the Bible. Paul took the gospel, he took the Old Testament scriptures, and he preached Christ from them. And he led people to the Word of God. Do you remember when he was in that place called Berea? You remember that the people there listened to him, and then they went home and they checked up, didn't they? They checked up in their Bibles. They checked up that what he said was true. They searched the scriptures to see whether what Paul said was true, because everything that Paul preached was from the Bible. And he preached Jesus to them. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, if you want a good role model, then you've got to look for people who love the Bible. You've got to look for people who know their Bible. People who have, through their lives, sought to understand the Bible and get to know it. Oh, praise God. There are people like that, aren't there? You know people like that. I hope you've got friends like that, men and women who through their lives have taken the Bible as their guide. They love the Word of God. And Paul taught the Bible. Good role models all have a love for the Bible. It's described here in verse 15 as the Holy Scriptures. That's wonderful, isn't it? The Holy Scriptures. Just not just like any other book. It's not like any other book in the whole world. These are scriptures. These are writings, and they're not just any writings. They're holy. They come from a holy God. And God has breathed out the word. That's what he says in verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed. And it's very profitable for us, for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. So good role models teach the Bible because they love the Bible. Timothy's mother and grandmother were good role models. We find that out in chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. Paul says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois. You see, Lois, Timothy's grandmother, was the first person in the family to become a Christian. Wonderful. She listened to Paul preaching. When Paul was there, Paul visited Lystra and Derbe, the villages where Timothy grew up. And Lois was the first one, and she became a Christian. She loved the Lord Jesus, and she began to love the Word of God as well. And then Timothy's mother, Eunice, she became a Christian as well. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. Wonderful. So Timothy already had two good role models, his mother and his grandmother. And many of us have had good role models in our parents. Not all of us do. But if you have, then praise God for that. And remember, remember the outcome of their lives. Remember how they lived. Your parents, maybe your grandparents, who loved the Lord. Good role models, because they love the scriptures, don't they? And of course, Paul loved the scriptures. Why does this make someone a good role model? Well, because they're convinced that the Bible is the word of God, you see. And they regularly read and study the book, knowing that God is speaking through his word. And they know that they need to hear the message of the Bible for themselves. They know that salvation is not found anywhere else than in Christ. And it's this book that leads them to Christ. And so the Bible is central to all that they do. They'll be pointing you away from themselves and away from worldly philosophies, and they'll be pointing you to Jesus Christ. Because if someone loves the Bible, that's what they're going to do. They're going to point you to the Lord Jesus. You will find these people in churches. Get to know them. Spend time with them, because they will be your role models. Good role model is somebody who teaches the Bible, who loves the Bible for themselves and points you to it as well. Secondly, a good role model will live the Bible. It's not enough just to love the Bible, is it? It's not enough just to teach the Bible. There have been people who have taught the Bible. There have been preachers who have taught the Bible, but they've not lived the Bible. And that's a terrible thing, to be able to have to say to somebody, well, listen to what he says, but don't watch the way that he lives his life. That's dreadful, isn't it? That's hypocrisy. No, we must love the Bible, but we also must also live the Bible. And a good role model will do that. Look at what Paul says in verse 10 of chapter 3. You, however, know all about my teaching. And then he goes on, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love. The word of God shaped Paul's life. Or perhaps to put it more precisely, the Lord God, through his Holy Spirit, shaped Paul's life. But he used the word of God to do that. And that is how God tends to work. He uses his word in order to shape our lives and to mold us by the word of God. And the word of God gave him, first of all, purpose. You notice that? You know all about my way of life, my purpose. There was a very godly man. He was a good role model. His name was Mr. Nash. He's long since gone to be with the Lord. But Mr. Nash looked at the various public schools, and particularly in England. And he saw there that there were a lot of boys, and they'd been sent away to public school by their parents, often very, very rich parents, busy parents who sometimes weren't that interested in their boys, really. They sent them away to school. And he also noticed that during the holidays, these boys were a bit adrift. Sometimes even in the school holidays, their parents didn't particularly want them. Very sad situation. So this Mr. Nash was a Christian man. And so he set up some camps for public school boys. And many boys went to those camps, and many of them came to know the Lord Jesus. People like John Stott, Dick Lucas, others, these men knew Mr. Nash. And Mr. Nash would always pray for his boys. In fact, when he died, they found him, and he'd fallen on his bed and spread out on the bed were lots of bits of papers with all the boys' names, and he'd been praying for them. Anyway, Mr. Nash said this about the boys. He said, "I pray this for all of these boys. I pray that they may have a Bible in their hands, a Saviour in their hearts, and a purpose in their lives." What a prayer. That's what we need to be praying, isn't it? A Bible in their hands, a Saviour in their hearts, and a purpose in their lives. Paul says, "You know all about my purpose." Paul was a man of purpose. You say, "What are you doing with your life, Paul?" There's no doubt what Paul was doing with his life. He was living it for Jesus. He was living it for Christ. He was involved in gospel work. And Paul lived to proclaim Christ. He said, didn't he, in Galatians, "I live, yet no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:20. So Paul had a great purpose in life. He lived for the gospel. His one desire was to see people saved and come to Christ. So it gave him purpose. It also gave him grace, because he had faith and patience and love. These are the marks of grace, aren't they? This is the work of God in our hearts. Look for them in a good role model. Someone who has faith. Not just saving faith, that's essential. You can't be a Christian without saving faith. The faith that believes in Christ, you know? The faith that trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just that, though, but faith to live. Living by faith. Living with a hold on Christ and with your eyes towards him. Faith to step out for Christ and to hold on to him in times of trouble. I think particularly you see someone's faith when they're going through a difficult time, a troubled time, because they're holding on to Christ, aren't they? Steve Brady was a minister on the south coast of England. Later on, he went on to be the principal of Moorlands Bible College. But Steve, while he was a pastor in the south of England, he was by the sea, and he knew that one of his congregation was good at water skiing, and he said to Steve one day, "Why don't you come and have a go water skiing?" And Steve had never been water skiing before, so he said, "Well, I'll give it a go." So Steve's there behind the boat. He's got hold of the rope. I'm sure they're technical terms. But every time the boat went forward, Steve came up and then dropped down again. Let go. The boat came round, tried again. His friend's in the boat, you see. And after this had happened a few times, his friend came round in the boat and he says, Steve, it's like faith. Just hold on. And that's what faith is, isn't it? It's holding on to Christ all the time. Holding on to the truth that we have in him, knowing him and trusting him. Just hold on. Someone with faith. Faith will be severely tested, but we need to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who's a good role model will have the grace of faith in their life. Someone who also has patience. Patience is a God-given thing to bear with people who are difficult. You know, Paul had to deal with some very difficult people. And patience is being willing to do that lovingly and carefully, not allowing yourself to get angry, not allowing yourself to get all uptight about situations. Patience. Knowing that people need time, just as we needed time to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, so do other people. And a good role model is going to have great patience. Timothy is going to have to teach with great patience, because people are slow to learn. And so patience is a great virtue, great by the grace of God. And then Paul had love, another grace. The greatest of all is love. A love for God and a love for people. Even a love for enemies. Paul was once an enemy of Christ. And yet he was changed by the grace of God. And he loved people. And he wanted them to be saved. even his enemies. Do you remember when he was standing before King Agrippa? You can read about it in Acts chapter 26. I'm sure you've read it. And he tries to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian. And Agrippa says, oh, do you think in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul says, well, whether it's a short time or a long time, I wish that all of you here will be just like I am, except for these chains. Because remember, he's a prisoner. But even there as a prisoner, he has a love for the people who are judging him. And he's wanting them to become Christians. What great love that is. Love for God, love for Christ, love for other people, and even love for enemies. Find a role model like that to follow. We know that the Lord Jesus alone has those graces without measure. He is supremely the one whom we are to look to. But this passage tells us that we are also to look for human role models. And it's good for us to find people and to say, well, you know, I'm going to stick near them. I'm going to watch their life. And by the grace of God, I want to be like that. If they're wanting to be like Christ, and you're wanting to be like them, then you're wanting to be like Christ anyway, aren't you? So a good role model then not only teaches the Bible, but also lives the Bible. And finally, a good role model keeps going. Whatever is happening, they keep going. They don't give up. You see what Paul says there in verse 10. You ever know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love. And then he says, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. Well, what did happen to Paul in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? That's what he says there. He says, you know what happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? Well, Timothy does know exactly what happened to him because Timothy was there. I think Timothy came from Lystra. He knew what happened. It was the talk of the town. It would have been in all the newspapers of the day what had happened to this visiting preacher, Paul. And many things happened to him, but in every place he was badly treated. Just listen to this in Acts 14 and verse 19. This is in Derbe. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered round him, he got up. What would you have done? What would you have done then, right? You've just been dragged out of the city, you've been stoned, and you've been left for dead, and you've come round. And there's a little group of Christians around you, and you get up. Well, I think I might have gone somewhere else, wouldn't you? No. After the disciples had gathered round him, he got up and went back into the city. And the next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. So that was in Lystra. And he was stoned almost to death. They thought he was dead. Praise God, he wasn't. But you see, it didn't put him off. He kept going. He didn't let the persecutions put him off. He didn't shrink back. It would have been very easy to do so, but he didn't. Why didn't he? What is it that keeps us going? Well, it's a knowledge that this is what life is going to be like for a Christian. He expected it. Look what he says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's a certainty. If you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, it will be tough. And you will find that you have made enemies as well as friends. You will find that people won't be nice to you. Don't be surprised, because you're involved in a spiritual battle. And you are coming in the name of Christ. And the whole host of the demons and the devil himself hates Christ, and you're involved in that spiritual battle. And so there will be persecution. If you want to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. A good role model will keep going, through thick and thin. Their faith means something. They're not just fair weather Christians. They keep on going right to the end. And you'll find these people. You'll find them in church. You'll find them in church when their hearts are breaking. Very often, believers going through terrible times. But where will they be? Well, they'll be with God's people. You'll find them worshipping God, even through tears. But they'll be worshipping God. They endure. You'll find that whatever they're going through, they will praise God. And they'll go to God in times of trouble. They won't run away from him. They'll never say, oh, I don't know, things are too hard for me. I can't go today. I was feeling too low. I can't go to church today. I'm feeling too ill. I've had a bad week. No, that's not the voice of endurance. The voice of endurance says, I'll praise my Maker while I have breath. And that's what Paul was like. He kept going through persecutions and through sufferings. Search out these people because they are good for you. And if you want to end your Christian life well, then you need to model yourself on the right people. First of all, Christ himself, because there is no greater person for us to look to than for Jesus. But praise God that he knows our weakness, and he knows that we also need human help. Godly, divine help, but through humans. And so he gives us men and women to look to. And I'm sure that you can bring people to mind. I can. Men and women who, through my life from the youngest years, I've said, that's a Christian. Who I've said, I want to be like that when I get old. Very young in the church, and you look to someone very old in the church, and you say, that's what I want to be. You know, it doesn't just happen. It's not just something that's going to go to bed one night and then the next morning you're going to wake up like that. No. It's a life of loving the Bible. It's a life of living the Bible. It's a life of the grace of God. It's a life of endurance. If you want to finish well, if you want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant, then find good role models. Make friends of God's people. And of course, it has to be said, we should be good role models ourselves, shouldn't we? There's a sense in which we should be able to say, like Paul, you know all about my life. You know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. That's a big ask, isn't it? But we ought to be striving to be like that for the praise and glory of God and for the good of his people. And may God bless his word to us.